Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome today to the Two Sistas podcast. And as you see, we're minus a sister, but you know what? We're hoping that she will be on at some point. She's been delayed, but nevertheless, Abby, as I mentioned, when we were going live on the Wisdom Audio app, is my adopted sister for the time being. And by the way, I did reconcile the fact that in this instance, I am the older sister. So that's what it is. But anyways, I'm just babbling here. Again, my name is Janice, aka Wellness Diva 5.0. It is Trending Thursday, April 27th. Today, our amazing guest, you know, when you have a conversation with someone who is just as passionate about health and wellness as you are, as we are in what Carol Sue and I do with Two Sistas and our individual companies and, you know, working together, what we have found, there are few and far betweens. And what I mean by that is Abby is a health and mindset coach. And her story really resonates from the backdrop of her story. And that's what we really love at Two Sistas, to be able to share someone's health journey, how that transported them to where they are today, but more importantly, what they share with others. And that's what we love. So I want to welcome to the Two Sistas podcast our amazing guest, Abby Higney. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back and to be here.
Yes, this has been awesome. You know, just before, obviously, we hit the record to the live button, it struck me that, you know, when someone hears, I think in the wellness industry overall, you know, I forgot what the figure is, but it's like billions and billions of dollar industry, which is great, I guess, to a certain point, of course, you know, but what I'm always amazed about, excuse me, is the power of the consumer to really take control of their wellness in a way. I mean, you don't have to spend money is what I'm trying to get at. Mm-hmm. Abby, I know that, you know, with working with your clients, you really go through a process. And we know that wellness overall, it's basically the top of the umbrella. There's so much more underneath that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important for people to understand what that really looks like for them. And for all of us, it's going to be different. Just as different as our bodies are, our wellness is different too. And sometimes it's, you know, moving your body and eating foods that make you feel good, right? Those are the two big pillars we all think about. But sometimes it's just being able to manage your stress. And especially, you know, I'm a mom of two little ones. Sometimes it's being able to manage my stress so that I don't take it out on my kids. We all have stressful days, and it's not about eliminating the stress. It's just about being able to manage it. So sometimes it's being able to manage your stress. Sometimes for a lot of my clients, it's being able to take time for themselves and to prioritize that time without feeling guilty about it. Because really, that's a lot of why we don't do it, especially as women and as moms, is we feel like we need to be there for everyone and everything else, that we don't actually take the time for ourselves. And what ends up happening is we become burnout. We become so tired. We have no energy because we're not taking care of ourselves. And that can look different every day, but it's just knowing that today I did this for me. And for me, it was really listening to how I was talking to myself and being willing to notice those thoughts and then to work to change them. Because I think we all have this inner voice, right? I refer to it as an inner mean girl, but if an inner voice is better for anybody, take that and run with it. We all have this inner voice that tells us you know, how we look is not the way that we should look, or what we're doing is not good enough, or we should be doing this and not that. And if we did this, then we should be doing this. And it's just this ripple effect that can weigh so heavy on us and bring so much pressure to our lives. It's like this unwanted weight of the stress that we don't even realize is there.
And you bring up so many amazing points, and I'm going to try to read my chicken scrabble here. You know, when I've worked with health coaching clients and we chat about managing, what I've often heard is, well, I don't have time to manage this. Managing this is overwhelming, because there's almost, and it's not anybody's fault, because trust me, I did it. It's almost like we're justifying our existence or being or why we're not doing something. Mm-hmm. So I've often asked this type of a question. What would you think, instead of using the word manage, maybe using the word navigate? Because for me, when I've been through my health journey, and I think I mentioned this to you, I was always looking for to justify my excuses. And, you know, I can admit that now. That was really hard back then to admit that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just a play on the words, and maybe that could be a solution for someone. Mm-hmm. Have any of your clients, or maybe you yourself, have you experienced a situation where you are managing something, but you decide, you know what? I'm okay with switching this around, but I need to be accountable to myself, because it's all about the accountability, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's taking responsibility for it. And I think for many of us, we tend to want to place responsibility on other things, whether it's our schedules being too busy, you know, whether it's work taking up too much of our time, the kids taking up too much of our time, the house needs to be clean. Really, what you're doing with those excuses is really what it comes down to, is you're putting the responsibility onto something else rather than yourself. And what I like to tell my clients is, your responsibility, taking responsibility, is simply your ability to respond. So if you are not happy with something, if you are not feeling like you are filling your cup, or you're taking care of your body, or you're not feeling energized, you know, you're not eating the right foods, or you're eating foods that just make you feel guilty or lethargic or whatever it may be, you have the ability to respond to that. And once you realize that, you gain all that control that we don't think that we have. But you have to get curious about it, right? Sometimes it's just like you said the word, you know, let's navigate this. I think that starts with curiosity. Like, what's happening here? Why do I feel like I don't have any time for myself? I like to think about it as my kids, right? Because again, I work with a lot of moms, but I think women tend to do this as well, is we think about everybody else, right? And so when I think about my kids, I can easily think I don't have enough time for myself. I've got to get them to school. I've got to get their lunches made. I've got to get them to practice. I got to get them off the bus. I've got to make sure their doctor's appointments are booked and all of this stuff. But when I can look at that and think, if they had an art project to do, and I knew that art project was going to take us a half an hour or an hour, and I was going to have to sit down and help them, I'd find that half an hour. Or if they had to get to a friend's house or a birthday party, I find that time for them. So why am I not finding that time for myself? What's happening here? And then go bringing it back to that responsibility. If I really want to do something, I'm the only one who is responsible for making that happen. So how can I make this happen? What does that look like for me? And then to make a plan. And if it doesn't happen, to do it without judgment. Don't make it mean anything about you if it doesn't happen. Just get curious again. Why didn't it happen? What could I do differently? How do I want to feel about this?
That is so true. And I love what you said. It, why, you know, asking yourself that question, why am I not finding the time for myself? That is probably, as far as when the excuse, so to speak, and again, I am guilty of this myself, have been, I probably will be again at some point. Not that I do that often, but anyways, I digress a little. Why not ask ourselves that question? Why not, like, be honest with ourselves and say, you know, I had good intentions of doing this today, but it didn't work out because these things happen, versus saying I didn't have enough time, and maybe looking at that situation differently for in the future, maybe it's for the next day, and saying, okay, this is what I plan to do. This is what happened. It didn't work out. Well, wait a minute. I see a gap in here. And it all comes back to the responsibility factor. You know, just be honest with yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself that you're just going to say, oh, F it. I'm not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is the key point there, right? Being honest with yourself without any judgment towards it, bringing yourself, asking that question of why didn't this happen from a very neutral place? Because a lot of the times when we ask that question, it comes from a negative place. Like, why couldn't I just do this? Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I just take 20 minutes to myself? Or why can't I stop eating the cookies? Or why can't I have any control? It comes from a very negative lack of confidence, lack of control, lack of responsibility, please. And that's not helpful. That's just placing blame on yourself and judging yourself for something that just happened. But when we can just look at it as it happened, this is a very neutral circumstance in my life. It happened. We know it happened. We can't go back and fix it. Why did that happen? What was going on? What was I thinking? What did I prioritize instead? And that neutrality of that question allows you to evaluate, what am I going to do differently next time? This doesn't feel good to me. I don't feel glad that I didn't do it. Or maybe you find that, like, I'm okay with this and that's fine. And maybe this isn't really what I want to focus on. Maybe it's this other thing and this is what I'm going to do differently. But getting curious and being honest allows you to evaluate and to find that next step.
Oh, I love that. Evaluate and define.
Yeah.
And it's okay if it differs from day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. I just got off a call with a client and she was talking about getting back into a workout routine, and her immediate thought was, you know, she only has 20 minutes. Like, that's such a waste of time. Like, what can she get done in 20 minutes? And so I was asking her, like, how much are you doing now? And first the answer was nothing, because this is something she wants to change, right? And I was like, here's the thing. You can think of 20 minutes as a waste of time, or you can think of 20 minutes is going to give me something to look at. Because when we don't do anything, we have nothing to evaluate. We don't know what works and what doesn't work for us. We can't define that next step, because you can't evaluate nothing. You have to do something and then work towards that next step.
I love what you just said there, that you cannot evaluate nothing. And quite honestly, I think we'd all rather have something than nothing.
Yes. Yes. And if you do nothing, then decide what you're going to do differently. You're going to always find that it's not going to be nothing. So if you have a day like she did today, she's not doing anything. Okay, well, let's look at that. It's not helping you. You're not happy where you are. You want more energy. You want to lose weight. In order to get there, you have to do something that's not nothing. So let's take that step, you know, and she was looking at the entire mountain. which is so common for us to do, especially in the wellness industry, right? There is everything out there, all of the information. You can Google any meal plan, you can Google any workout routine, it's all there. And I think we talked about this the last time, like from a very young age, I had binders of meal plans and workout routines. That wasn't the problem, right? My problem was doing the things, right? And doing it without the judgment. So instead of looking at that big mountain, what it boiled down to with this client was just, she said, I just need to move one rock, is what she said. If I move this one rock today or this week, I'm going to make that progress up that mountain. So instead of that whole big journey, just think of that one thing. And do that one thing, commit to doing it.
I love what you said about that. Do that one thing. And your client that's, you know, moving a rock. I mean, think about that for a moment. She already knows she's going to be successful. Maybe subconsciously, but maybe consciously, she doesn't know that. And that's a huge step. And I applaud her for that. I mean, because when you start out, when you're looking at that mountain, you know, and I know for me, obviously, with my, my weight loss journey, oh my God, that was over 200 pounds ago. Like that was a huge thing, but I'm like, okay, I need to like break this down. Like, how can I be successful this time? These times, these things didn't work. And it all boiled down to my mindset. And I think that's such a key there. What would you say about mindset? Even when you work with clients that I know as health coaches, like I am learning all the time. Mm-hmm. What would you say is one thing about mindset that now you've been in practice for a few years that you always go back to?
Oh, I mean, for me, mindset is the thing. Again, if you go back to what I said about having everything available to you, it's not the lack of knowing what to do. Not knowing what to do is not the reason you are where you are. The reason why you are where you are is because of the mindset that you have. You can, again, you can Google anything. You can come up with all of the things to do. You could, most of us could probably write a book on it, right? Like, I know I need to eat these foods. I know I need to do these things. I'm just not doing it. The reason why you're not doing it is your mindset. Whether you think it's not worth it, I only have 20 minutes a day, or I've tried everything and nothing works. That's a big mindset that a lot of my clients have. It's like, well, I've already tried everything and nothing works. No, you just haven't found what works for you yet because you gave up too soon, right? And it's as soon as that first road bump comes into play, we think it's not working or we think it's too hard. But the thing is, it's going to be hard. Anytime we do something differently, it's hard. And what you need to think about is, this is hard, and that means I'm doing it right. That means I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm taking that next step. I'm moving closer. But in order to do that, you have to be aware of those stories that you're telling yourself. What is your current mindset? And I would offer that to everybody who's listening, is to think of your goal, whatever it is that you want to achieve, and just write down all of the thoughts that come to mind about that goal. What is everything that you think? Good, bad, ugly, neutral, whatever. Write them all down without any judgment to it, without any thoughts, just like brain dump it onto a piece of paper. And then read that back. Read back everything that you think about that goal. There's probably going to be a mix of, this is something I really want. This is really important to me. I don't know how I'm going to do it. This feels really hard. And I want you to just notice that those thoughts, the positive and the negative, are normal. Our brain has what, like 70 plus thousand thoughts a day? Half of them are negative. And we tend to cling to the negative ones because those are keeping us safe. Those feel okay for us. Well, if I believe this, I don't have to do this. I don't have to step into that discomfort. But really, those negative thoughts aren't helping you. They're keeping you where you are. So if you want to move closer to your goal, you need to focus on those thoughts that either move you a step forward or at least put you in a neutral place so that you're not thinking it's impossible, that you can't do it. Just bring it back to, this is my goal. What am I going to do about it? How do I feel about this goal? What do I want to feel about this goal? And when you can just bring it back, let those negative thoughts come in. They're going to be there. We're not trying to get rid of them. Let them come. Thank that inner mean girl for bringing them up. Just say, not today, not paying attention to that today. And just shift your mind to one of those other thoughts. And if you do this on repeat, if you bring yourself back to, you know, it's so hard to, I'm going to do one thing today or whatever those thoughts are, you will always make progress to your, towards your goals. And if you're always taking one step, you're going to eventually get there. There's no way you won't reach your goal because you're not giving up.
That is so true, because it, again, I think it goes back to, you know, building that foundation. Like I know when I started my weight loss journey quite a few years ago, like I wanted it the next day. Well, come on, that's not going to be realistic.
Yeah.
But what if we kind of took a step back and say, you know what? I'm going to do this in a way that really, I want the transformation. So what am I going to do to support myself? And I remember journaling out, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. Like that was probably like in every entry somewhere within my entry. And then I remember looking back. I remember this vividly. It was about, it was about a month and a half before my niece's big engagement party. I would say 2008, 2009. And I was at my heaviest. I weighed more than my commercial kickboxing bag right in front of me. And that's is 272 pounds. So I'll just leave the weight number there. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I really want to lose a couple pounds before I go to my niece's engagement party. And I think I lost about 10, 15 pounds. So I felt good. Wow. Okay. I'm starting out here. Go to the engagement party. And I have to say, I was amazed that when I looked back at my entries referring to the hard, I realized on the plane trip back to Florida, because I was living in Florida at the time, that I chose my hard, but I chose it wisely.
Mm.
To me, that was a revelation. And I really think that was probably the fire that I needed to get myself moving the needle there.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, because it is hard, but so is being in a place where you're not happy. You know, and I talk to my clients about this in terms of stepping into that discomfort, doing the hard thing and allowing it to feel uncomfortable for the moment. And we talk about that in terms of, let's say, from an eating perspective, right? A lot of the times it's, you know, I can't control myself around sweets. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just practice. The next time you want to reach for the candy or you want to have that, I want you to say no and allow yourself to sit with the discomfort. Because that discomfort is temporary. When you allow yourself to sit with it, you eventually forget about it. You're like, oh yeah, I don't really want the candy anymore. Or you go about your day and you do something else. Versus the discomfort of not being happy with your routine or your weight or your body or not taking time for yourself. That is not going to go away until you take responsibility and change it. So I love that you were like, I chose my hard. Your hard was either to do the hard work or to be uncomfortable with your weight and live a life where it just felt hard. And you chose wisely. And it's the same thing with taking that uncomfortable step to make change.
And we all know, again, it goes back to hard. Change is hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're set in our ways. I know that I'm set in some of my ways. My husband is set in some of his ways. Well, let's be real, in a lot of his ways. Sorry, man, if you're listening. But the thing is, I think we have to really allow ourselves that opportunity to, you know, what are those stories that we're telling ourselves? Like, be realistic with it. Keep it as simple as possible. And, you know, maybe it's something, if somebody like wants to make a change today, because we're still in today, think of one little thing that you could change or do for yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe let's talk coffee, because we had mentioned cookies. And by the way, I did have one Oreo cookie with my lunch and I don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something as simple as you have a cup of coffee in the afternoon, or maybe it's an Oreo cookie, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So maybe before that action, you drink a glass of water. I mean, it sounds simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the thought of drinking water may sound boring. So maybe it's just doing that little act for yourself that was like, oh, you know what? I drank that glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? And then I decided I wasn't going to have that cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was win.
Yes. And I would say, even like you said, I had an Oreo and I don't feel guilty about it. Allowing yourself to not feel guilty about it may be that thing today, right? Because a lot of the times we do, we have the cookie and then we're like, I ruined everything. But maybe the uncomfortable thing is to just allow it to happen and not make it mean anything.
Right.
Decide, like, do I want to eat this again? Yes, no, maybe so. I don't know, but I'm not going to feel guilty about it. And sometimes that is progress.
And progress really is the key. And I think a lot of times we don't see that those little things really are, in the grand scheme, are huge good things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we don't look for them to be good things, right? We have to look for all of the evidence as to why something is working, why it went well, why it's, you know, progress from where you were, versus looking for all of the reasons why it's not working, which I know you mentioned, like the expectation thing, and like, it didn't happen. You wanted it to happen overnight. And of course it didn't. I think that is the biggest hurdle that we have to get across, is what your expectations were and how long it was going to take to get there versus how long it actually takes to get there. It doesn't mean anything has gone wrong. It just means that your expectations were a little off. And if you can get to that point where you wanted to lose 200 pounds overnight, and overnight came and you didn't lose 200 pounds, or a year later came and you didn't lose 200 pounds, are you willing to keep going? Are you willing to look at all of the things that I have done. Look at all of the changes that I have made. Look at all of these victories that I have accomplished. Look at how much better I feel, or how much differently I'm thinking about things and myself. And I'm going to keep going until I get there.
Right. Because I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, the journey along the way, like we are here today, all the way over there in the future, a date unknown, I am going to be healthier. Perhaps I've lost the X amount of pounds that I wanted to lose. I'm going to the gym, or I have my at-home gym, or I'm finally going to take the clothes off the Peloton that's sitting in the corner and collecting clothes over it, right? And like, that vision is there, but it's the journey from here to there.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah. I mean, it took me 20 years to stop beating myself up and criticizing the way that I looked and using food as good or bad and movement as punishment for, you know, eating the cookie, right? Or, you know, I mean, I used to go to birthday parties and refuse to eat the cake because I thought it was so bad. It took me 20 years to see what I was doing, to stop criticizing myself, to allow that voice to come in and not make it mean anything about me or what I really was or the step that I was taking, and to be able to release all of that judgment and change my life, right? But I had to be willing to go through all of the hard and then to do the hard thing of bringing the awareness and releasing the judgment and changing that voice inside my head, shifting my mindset, doing different things until I got to a place where it doesn't feel hard anymore. It doesn't mean it doesn't come up. It doesn't mean I don't have hard days. It doesn't feel hard anymore because I know how to do it.
And your story, by the way, which I would like to chat about in just a moment, you've shifted your perspective, you've shifted your mindset in such a way where you are transforming other people's lives. And I think that is amazing.
It feels right. It feels like, okay, I've found, you know, a lot of people search all their lives. So like, what am I supposed to do? For me, it has felt like the light bulb has gone off and like, I am here and it's just part of this ripple. Like I had to go through it in order to help other people go through it. And, you know, that was hard, right? It was a lot of hard, but now I am so happy. I'm so honored to have had that experience to now be able to help other women to stop doing that, to stop looking in the mirror and looking for all of the things that are wrong, or stop looking for all of the things that they should be doing, the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and just start to find what feels good to them and allows them to live the life that they want to live in a way where they feel healthy and confident.
I think that is so important. And, you know, in saying that, I really think your perspective is that you're honoring, but you also appreciate the journey that you've been through, because people, your clients, can relate to that more. Wow, Abby did this? It took her how long?
Yeah. And it's not always easy.
No, it's definitely not always easy, but the shift in perspective and having that honor and appreciation is really worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
What about your journey, Abby? Tell us a little bit about your journey and what is one important thing from your journey that you want your potential clients or anyone out there who is struggling with getting healthy to learn from about your experience?
Yeah. You know, I'll start with what I want people to know is that it's okay that your journey doesn't look like somebody else's. And I think especially in the world that we live in right now with social media and, you know, so many ways that we can compare our lives and our bodies and our habits to other people, I think it's really important for people to be okay with staying in their own lane, for looking at this is what I'm doing and this feels good to me, even if somebody else is doing this thing. It doesn't make that thing better. And it also doesn't make that thing the thing that's going to work for you. When you can stay in your lane and focus on you and that next step, that is the healthiest thing that you can do. That is the thing that's going to help you make progress to get to your goal, to feel more confident, to get the habits that you want. And, you know, for me, to give some backstory of my journey is when I was 12 years old, I had a gymnastics coach who had made a comment in class one day about being careful not to gain weight, that gymnasts were meant to be small and we should just be careful not to gain weight. I think I had said this to you previously. I don't think he meant any harm by that. I don't even know if he knows that he said it, right? Like if there were 100 little girls in that class, 95 of them may not have heard it, may not have paid any attention to it. There are 5 of us that took that comment and made it mean something about who we were, what our bodies looked like, what we were supposed to do. And that was me. And for the next 20 years, I struggled with my body. I struggled with food. I struggled with movement. I thought I was the healthy one. You know, I watched what I ate. I had a binder full of, I'd see a magazine at the convenience store. Luckily for me, it was before social media, so I didn't have to deal with all of that. But I would go to the convenience store or the grocery store and I'd see a magazine that was like, here, eat this and get, look like this and do this workout. And I would buy them all. And I'd rip them out and I'd put them in a binder and I'd have them in my room and I would close my door and I'd be doing workouts in there at, 11 o'clock at night or whatever it was to burn off the calories. I'd watch what I ate. You know, I'd have my mom buy me certain foods or I'd only eat this thing or push this off my plate when she made dinner. And a good portion of my life, I thought I was healthy. I thought this is just what women and girls did, that we watched what we ate, that we restricted our calories. We didn't eat the sugar. We didn't have fun at birthday parties because we didn't eat the cake. And whenever we ate something, we went out for a run. And if we ate more than we should, we ran longer than, we normally would. And this was just normal for me until I realized that it wasn't normal. And that took me until I got pregnant with my son. He's now almost 9 for reference. And when I found out that I was pregnant, we were super excited. We had wanted this. We wanted to start a family, my husband and I. It was such a scary moment because it was the first time I realized I was going to have to do something that I had avoided doing all of my life. I was going to have to gain weight. I wanted to gain weight. I wanted a healthy pregnancy. I wanted a healthy baby. I wanted to do things right. But I didn't know how to do that in a healthy way. And that's when I realized how unhealthy that I had been, how looking in the mirror and picking yourself apart or hating to take a photo and seeing a photo of you and being like, well, I don't look like her or whatever. I used to sit next to one of my friends at lunch and be like, well, she's eating this. I should eat, less of this. And like, I mean, my lunch got down to maybe a yogurt, right? Like it was just a constant battle in my mind. And what I realized was it was never about the food that I was eating or the movement I was doing, right? Because from that perspective, I was healthy. What was happening was it was all in my mind. It was never enough. I'd always have that thought, when I look like this, I'll feel this way. When I look like this, I'll have this. When I do this, I'll get. When you live in this place of when I do this, when I look like, when I whatever, that is one of the most harmful places that we could live in because it puts everything that we believe we want out of our control. It puts it on that number on the scale. It puts it on that image in the mirror. It puts it on whatever, the amount of money in your bank account. But the thing is, those things never create that feeling that we want. They never create that confidence. They never create feeling happy with ourselves or knowing that we can keep going. They're just a circumstance. And we have to change the way we think about ourselves right now in order to get where we want to go, in order to feel healthy and confident in our bodies. We have to start changing that right now. And once we do, we allow ourselves to feel good along the way, right? Like I like to say, like, I couldn't go from hating my body to loving my body. I don't even know that I could go from hating my body to accepting it. But what I could do was I could stop hating myself. I could stop hating the way that I looked. And I could just take it as this is the way that I look. And when you can go from just allowing yourself to stop hating yourself to more of a neutral place, like, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Then you can move into acceptance of it. And then eventually you'll work your way up to loving yourself. But you have to start with just stop the self-hatred, stop the criticism. And it may not be, I'll add, it may not be even your body. It may be, you know, I had a client and she was like, my inner mean girl is all about pleasing other people. I can't say no to somebody without beating myself up. So that inner mean girl may look differently for you. It may be your body, but it may be something completely different. It may be that you are a people pleaser. It may be that you never think that you're doing something good enough, but it's always there. And so recognizing what that voice is for you and just allowing yourself to say, I'm not going to talk to myself that way anymore. And just stop it in its tracks. You don't have to think positive. You just have to stop the hatred.
Stop the hatred. But I think too, that once you validated your voice, there was an acceptance of, okay, this may not be perfect. It is what it is, but I am going to do this for me.
Yes. And I think that's a great point. Like, you have to let go of the past. You have to let go of all of the things that you were doing, all of the stories that you were telling yourself, all of the things that you tried that didn't work. Those are done. You can acknowledge them. You can learn from them, but you can't live in that space of, but you know, I used to do this and I used to say this. And you have to be able to let that go. And this is where staying in your own lane is really helpful, because you can acknowledge what has happened. Everything that you've done in your life has brought you to this exact moment. And this exact moment, no matter what your habits are, what your weight is, how you look, like whatever is going on, is exactly where you're supposed to be, because it's exactly where you are. That doesn't mean you can't want to change. You can still lovingly accept where you are and want to change. And I'll argue that that is the most powerful place to create change in your life. But that's only going to come from you. That's only going to come from staying in your lane, looking at where you are. You can, again, look at what has worked for you in the past, what hasn't worked, and learn from that. But stay in your lane and take that next step that feels right for you. Just think of one thing today. What's one thing that I can do today and take it? What decisions do I need to make in order to take that step? How am I going to feel when I take that step? Start thinking about your future self. And even if your future self seems too far away, like you had said, like it seemed too much to think about, like that full weight that you wanted to lose. And my client said this today too. She's like, that I can't even think about that person yet. And so we just went 2 weeks out. I was like, can you think of 2 weeks from now you, where you're consistently working out? And she took herself to that place and she's like, of course I'm working out for 20 minutes every day. Of course, like, and allowing yourself to be that person, to feel that person, to embody her and think about, what is she thinking? What is she telling herself every day? How does she feel? What is she doing? And embrace her and take action from her, versus where we like to take action, which is our future self that, or our past self, our past self that did all of these things and nothing worked and we just feel stuck.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I love what you said about staying in your lane, and you really find your path when you stay. And maybe it's all about creating your own lane, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Nobody's walked your lane before. It is creating your own lane. You haven't walked that lane before. It's all in front of you.
It certainly is. I just want to segue over a moment and welcome all of our, wow, amazing listeners currently on the Wisdom audio app. I see some familiar names. So thank you so much for being here today. Abby, do you have a couple of minutes? Maybe we could invite one of the people up on Wisdom to come and chat with us.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Yeah. All right, Wisdom, we have time for one guest to hop up on the Wisdom stage if you'd like to contribute to the conversation, or maybe you have a question for Abby. We would love for you to come up. Again, we have time for just one guest. Abby, as we're waiting for potentially somebody to come up on stage here, how can our viewers and listeners connect with you further?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is Wellness with Abby H. Abby is with an E. I am probably most active on Instagram if you're on social media, which is Wellness with Abby H there as well. I share a lot of different mindset shifts and perspectives and some recipes and stuff thrown in there, but really focusing on thinking about things from a slightly different perspective to help you inspire that next step for you. So definitely find me there or check out my website. I do have a 10-minute recipe guide on my website. If anybody struggles with busy seasons in their lives, I know I am in it right now with my kids and their spring sports. So that 10-minute recipe guide has been a lifesaver for me. And I'll probably be updating that soon to more of a mindset sort of tracker. So check back for that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And of course, I will make sure all that information is in the show notes. Awesome. You know, this has been such an amazing conversation. And obviously today's theme is Trending Thursday. So just a quick question, what is trending for you?
Oh, trending for me. Oh, what is trending for me? You know, I'm very much into this. This is not wellness related, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have a Bernese Mountain Dog puppy. She's about 1 year old. So I'm very into all of these burner like training things because she's rambunctious. So for me, I am just in puppy world right now. And that has been my life.
Trending Thursday with a puppy. I love it. Yeah. That's a cute little adorable puppy.
Oh, she is cute. I will say that. She's lucky she's cute because she's trouble.
They usually are a little bit, especially when they're puppies. You know, Abby, this has been such an amazing podcast with you today. You've shared some great insights, some great information, and I hope you will definitely consider coming back to the Two Sisters podcast.
Oh yeah, I would love to. This has been fun.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, Trending Thursday is maybe it's about you being the trendsetter. What is trending for you? Maybe there's that one thing out there that you've always wanted to try. You be the trendsetter for you. That's what it's all about. My name is Janice, one of the hosts of Two Sisters, and I'm also known aka as Wellness Diva 5.0. My sister Carol Sue, aka Naughty Boss, was unable to be with us today, but at some point, you know, Abby, of course you will meet her very soon. I know that for sure. We hope you have an amazing afternoon, and remember, your story matters. My name is Janice, and we shall see you all again very soon. Bye for now.